Go ahead and call the April 25th meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavalieri?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Vaughn?
Here.
Okay, first up is audience communication, public comment, anybody? Go ahead.
We know Mark.
Barbara Heidel, 14144th Place, Southeast Mill Creek, Holly Development. I would like to compliment the city for a fantastic city open house. I thoroughly enjoyed it, especially the police department. But I just thought it was really well-run and really got to meet a few more people who are usually behind locked doors. So it was sort of cool in the Parks and Rec department. Really nice people. But I would really like to compliment the job that everybody did on it. It was great. Especially, I guess, Brian ran it, I guess. It was really good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Representative Harmsworth.
Hi, guys. For the record, Mark Harmsworth, 15418 29th Ave Southeast, Mill Creek. Just coming down to give a quick update on a couple things that have happened down in the legislature. You may have noticed the transportation budget has passed both houses, which means that the money that was put in for 35th is now there and available as soon as it clears the governor's desk, which is good news. On another note, also in the transportation budget is the $800,000 that I requested for the site, the crosswalk and the lights at Old Seattle Road and 527. So I've mentioned this to your public works director already, and I'm sure I was going to talk to Rebecca. So I'm looking to partner with the city. You've been very engaged up to this point. Scott Smith was before he left, and working with us, the county, community transit, and the state to come up with something that's really going to work. I know that's something that's been in the long-range plan for a while. The money's now there. So budgeting from DOT, since this is a state highway, would indicate that the actual light itself is, we've got the money for that. The county's helping a little bit with connections with the fiber to make sure we don't mess up anything on 164th. And we've got a couple of bits and pieces going on there. Also, DOT is using some of their safety mitigation dollars to the tune of around $120,000 on 527. I'm sure they're going to give you the plans for that at some point to do some restriping and some rumble strips along the side there to help improve some safety so we don't end up in a situation as we did last year with the two young men that were tragically killed. Unfortunately, the capital budget has not passed yet. That's still in negotiations and will probably be part of what we call the end game, which is part of the main overall operating budget and the McCleary work that's going on. The majority of the education, appropriations and the budget committees are still down in Olympia along with leadership, and they're negotiating these budgets right now. But they've released the rest of us that aren't directly on those specific budgets to come home. We're on 24 hours notice, so I can go back at any point once they give us the call. I don't think it's a red bat phone, but it's normally just a text. But is there any questions I can answer for you if the mayor and you so wish?
So the $250,000 for the sports field was in both the Senate and the House versions of the capital budget.
Yes.
Does that make it a little more secure, perhaps?
Yeah, it's part of the $4.1 or $4.3 million playing field grants. So it's in both. So assuming we pass a capital budget at some point, it should survive, so you'll have the money there for that. But that's all up in the air right now as they're playing with budgets right now, should we say.
Okay. Anybody else?
Please reach out to my office in Eden. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll be taking off here in 20 minutes to go to Lake Stevens.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Okay, next up is countywide E911 addressing project. Chief?
All right. So in your package, you have a lot of information on the addressing grid system in Snohomish County, which is consistent with most counties in the area, and some issues that have come up as the county is upgrading their GIS systems and technology advancements are occurring. and they went through a fairly extensive project. They came to us first about a year ago and identified literally hundreds of addresses, including close to hundreds, in Mill Creek that were improperly addressed, residences that were improperly addressed. And they brought this issue to us and asked us, hey, you want to take care of this problem? And we looked at that and thought it was a pretty substantial project to undertake when we had pages and pages and pages of these addresses. But the county at the time said, hey, let's keep working on this. We'll see what we can figure out. We met with them about a month ago, and very, very thankful that they came to us and said, hey, listen, we can work with all of those discrepancies except for one issue, and that's the issue that we bring here before you tonight. And that's the fact that we have two streets that are named the same, 22nd Court Southeast, and there's a 22nd Court Southeast in the Spring Tree neighborhood. There's 22nd Court in Fairway Fountains. And as the county moves forward with updating their GIS system, this is going to create a problem, because not only are the street names duplicate, we have that all over the place, but the address ranges are duplicate, and that's where we run into a major problem. So the Fairway Fountains neighborhood has an address range of 15600 to 15699, so it's a fairly short street. I think there are only 8 or 9 houses in the neighborhood. And the 22nd Court Southeast at Springtree starts in the 15,600 block, and it runs up to 15,799. Now, although there are no specifically duplicate houses, addresses, the ranges overlap. The 22nd Court Southeast and Fairway Fountains, when it was originally addressed, was addressed in the wrong range. So the county said there are two fixes. We can either readdress each one of those houses in Fairway Fountains, or we can change the street name. And so we took a look at that and determined that probably the least impactful of those options is to rename the street. If we readdress each house, I know at my house I've got house numbers on my house, and a lot of people have very fancy house numbers on their houses that involve a lot of money. We rename the street, I think that there's a lesser impact to individual homeowners and individual homeowners than if we were to ask them to change from 15601 to 15401, and that would minimize the impact a little bit. So we bring this to council tonight, seeking a little bit of direction on how to proceed with this. Staff's suggestion is that we contact the Fairway Fountains neighborhood, their homeowners association, and the MCCA. We actually have reached out to the MCCA already in anticipation of this to let them know that this is coming, and really seek their input. We would suggest not changing the house numbers, but if ultimately the homeowners insist that that's what they want to do and keep their street name, then we'll have to
take a look at that.
Ideally, we could ask them to tell us, what do you want your street name? We could name it 22nd Place Southeast and just change Court to Place, or we could come up with a proper name, a la Village Green Drive or some of the other proper name streets that we have. And so we bring that to council for discussion and a little bit of direction on that.
Would adding Place or Court solve the problem? Isn't there already like a 22nd Place somewhere?
There are 22nd Place, but the conflict is the address range, so the 100 blocks, the 15600, 15699. And I can't answer the question about where there's another 22nd Place, but I know that there is one. The address ranges are going to be different. It would be 14,000 block or 16,000 block. All of our addresses are
part of the county grid system.
So if you look at where 22nd Avenue or Place is, that could be anywhere north or south
from the main grid line all the way down to the county line. Okay.
So what do you want from us tonight?
We'd like some direction from the council. This is
potentially
could create some concern in the community about having to be forced to change their address or their street. And so there's some ramifications that could come from the constituency on that. So we'd like some direction from the council.
Okay, Mike?
This has been a problem since Fairway Fountains was built, and all of the local postman and the FedEx guy and the UPS people have all figured this out over the years.
Correct.
But it has been a problem all along, and now, because we're trying to make the system more updated, I get it.
I would go to those folks. That is already a gated
community.
There's seven properties. Finding all seven of those people may be tough because for a long time, one of those was somebody who lived in another country, et cetera, so it may be tough. But I would, if I were doing it, I would suggest that you want to call this Fairway Fountains Court because it's already an exclusive neighborhood to right. which they have to have entry anyway. It would be easiest to answer. Absolutely. And I agree with you, changing the numbers is kind of a pain. Changing it from court to place doesn't really fix it because I think that's nuanced.
I think it'd be tough.
I let them choose, and I would hope they would choose Fairway Fountains Court.
Sure. I think that
that's what everybody thinks of it is. It's Fairway Fountains. That's not.
I look at it from my perspective. If you came to me and said, "Do you want to change your street from 19th to something cool like Elwood Boulevard?" Well, heck yeah, let's do that. That would be great. So I think this is potentially a good opportunity for the neighborhood to create some group consensus on that and have a good.
I don't know what happened. Google Maps over the years has figured this out. It took a while to figure this out. But if you poke in the different numbers, it puts non-existent numbers at the entrance to Fairway Fountains. But it bounces back and forth across the street depending which number it is.
Correct. Somehow they figured that out.
As technology advances, that problem is going to become worse. And that's where the county 911. GIS systems are upgraded, and all of the computer programs that go along with that are upgraded.
That problem will be compounded. We have local knowledge. The post office knows where to go. The police department knows where to go. The fire department knows where to go. But not always.
We do end up going to the wrong street,
or the fire department could go to the wrong street.
Lesser impactful, but equally as important is. Your FedEx box or your UPS box or a new postal delivery person can end up on the wrong street and maybe not deliver to the wrong address.
But at the very minimum,
get to a point where this house doesn't exist. Let's send this back because the house doesn't exist here.
Well, what happens now is that packages for Fairway Fountains end up in Springtree. The guy leaves them. He doesn't know what to do because he doesn't know how to get into that and can't even check the addresses because he doesn't have a code to get into the gate. So they'll leave them. Thinking it must be one of these neighbors.
It doesn't happen very often, but those folks in that cul-de-sac get packages that are wrong folks.
But occasionally you get somebody
from over there come, hey, I got a package wrong place.
I'm on the other court.
I'm not overlapping numbers, but there's people who in that neighborhood have come up and said, hey, I've got yours.
159, I'm 155.
Where's your package?
Do you have one of mine? Maybe we can trade it.
Yeah. It's usually better stuff that they've got. So
Councilwoman Michelson?
Thanks. I think a good suggestion on the name is that we kind of hone in on immediately. But I think having a consensus with the neighbors, reaching out to them, presenting it as a safety issue, and if we need to find you. I mean, like you said, the delivery people too. But there used to be a day, probably we used to be called Fairway Drive Southeast.
Mm-hmm. That was Cottonwood Drive Southeast. Yeah.
And now. We had to understand that didn't work, so we're now 26th Avenue Southeast. They started putting in the numerics.
Correct. I think, do we still have the main plates on there and then the addresses above it?
Some do.
Yeah, so, I mean, we transitioned, and once in a while I'll get a piece of mail.
It says Fairway Drive. It still makes it.
Right.
Bigger problem, sort of non-related, but annoying, is why can't we be Mill Creek? Why do we have to be Bothell with the post office?
I don't have a fix for that one, sorry.
I tried to get that fixed with the postman at the Mill Creek. Mark?
It is so annoying. Because when we agreed to the post office, the deal was we had to agree to a substation of Bothell or Novell. So we took the post office.
I tried to open an account yesterday, put in 9012, it said, sorry, this city doesn't match that zip code I put in Bothell. Thanks for joining.
Yes.
It's annoying.
I had to throw that out because it annoys me.
But I think your idea back to this is a real good idea
to reach out to the neighbor.
The seven houses, whatever they want, as long as it meets your needs, will be fine. So.
Perfect. And this doesn't require a motion, really just follow ahead.
Yes.
Exactly. And what we did pull up here briefly, some of the information that's included in your packet, Joni's created a link on the Mill Creek homepage and on the police department as well to provide some information for folks who are interested in, you know, what we've got going on and a little background on it. But we will follow up with the MCCA and then reach out directly to Fairway Fountains Neighborhood Group and just start these conversations and hopefully come back to you pretty quickly with, hey, here's what we're going to do, and we'll be able to proceed.
I can't read that
from here. Does it make it clear that all of these other addresses, which is the various apartments and condos, you guys have said good enough?
In fact, there are odds on even
sides. That's
fine. Does that say those are not going to change? So those folks know that
that's included on there.
It says that this is, basically somewhere in there it says that this is the only place that has this impact. It is very specifically 22nd or Southeast.
Okay, well, I just wondered if
it also should say the other issues, if anybody heard about this long list, that those are going to stay the way they are, so nobody has consternation about it.
I think that's a good point.
It says it here, in addition to the 22nd Court Southeast issue in Mill Creek, the county has identified dozens of additional discrepancies within the city that has determined that these issues can be managed through local knowledge.
Okay, so that's good.
And that's primarily what those are. They just odd numbers on the even side of the street and vice versa.
Do we have a process in place so the city of Mill Creek won't help this happen in the future?
We do. It's part of the review process. I think that this is just deeply rooted in history from the early days of the city. The largest numbers of address issues are on
Country Club Drive.
It was just as things were coming together in the early years, I don't think we paid attention really as closely as we should have. The good thing that we did is we had,
participated in the county's countywide grid system.
There are cities within our county that have
created their own grid system,
and they're just compounding their problems when it comes time to do these types of anomalies. So we're in a good position there. We just need to make sure we pay attention to
all the little details.
And so, yes, there is a process in place.
Okay, so you got what you need?
I do, thank you.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. C, we have approval of checks number 56817 through 56889 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $272,953.05. Audit Committee, Mayor Pro Tem Holzbaum, Mayor Pruitt, any exceptions?
No exceptions.
ACH payments in the amount of $103,279.43. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
City Council meeting minutes of April 11, 2017. We have a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Reports? That's it. Councilmember
Vaughn?
No report.
Councilmember Kelly?
No report, Mayor.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Just briefly, Mayor, thank you. Parks Board had its meeting earlier this month, and they will be moving forward with a recommended name for council to approve. Each member is giving its own idea or concept and submitting it to the Parks Board itself, and we should have a selection by the next Park Board meeting for approval by the council. And some interesting names so far. It's exciting stuff.
Is this for Northmore?
Correct, Northmore.
Okay.
Councilwoman
Michaelson?
Just want to mention to Chief Owen, you run a really tight meeting. I just want to thank you.
Well, I've got Joni next week.
Other than that, no report.
Two things. I'm going to be unable due to a conflict to attend the Snohomish County Steering Committee meeting tomorrow. So if anyone wants to go hear a WSDOT report on congestion management, you're welcome to attend in my place. The other item is I will be attending the Mill Creek Little League Saturday morning. So hoping for dry weather.
Councilmember Todd.
Just one thing, and I've sent out to the city manager, and just a heads up. for Joni about, there's going to be lots of construction going on. I read somewhere that Highway SR-96, 132nd, could be paved this summer. And so if that paving project and Seattle Hill Road is going at the same time, we should be knowing about it. So I think Joni's already nodding her head. I think particularly as we get to, I think that's one of the great things that Joni's got going with our, whatever we call those news flash thing that's coming out. I think that's great. It's a good opportunity for us to get ahead of it so people just feel like, hey, they're in the know. This is cool. Even if it isn't a conflict, I think people are curious about what's going on. You know, why is that construction equipment there, or what's happening? So I think that's great that you're keeping us on top of that.
Even better with social media.
Absolutely. And on that 132nd project, we're currently working with the Department of Transportation because they want to do nighttime work, and so we're working with them to mitigate the noise ordinance issues that are going to be created. They need special permits and those types of things from the city in order to do that. That is on Kamal's desk. He's working with the DOT on that. We'll get work through that project. But once approval comes, that's going to come fast and furious, and it'll be a busy, congested summertime for us around here.
And we are working on a joint plan. I am specifically with Kamal because we have WSDOT, we have the county, we have the city work going on, we have community transits work on the adaptive signals. I mean, it is going to be impactful, and we need to make sure we're communicating in advance. My deadline internally is to have everything ready for our city newsletter that goes into Mill Creek Living. My deadline's May 10th, so we'll be out in advance of that.
Okay, any reports?
So the only thing, I was going to save this,
but I'm going to give it to you now.
The police department received a grant from WSDOT for traffic safety equipment. It was $13,500, and the grant was specifically to purchase two LIDAR, which are laser speed measuring devices, to be deployed in the field to supplement the work being done by our traffic officers, and also two speed feedback signs, which the city has a few of these, one on Village Green Drive, on Seattle Hill Road, that are permanently mounted and are there all the time. The grant funded two portable signs for us to be able to deploy in areas where we have traffic concerns and or traffic complaints about speed violations. And we're going to deploy that right away, one of those here within the next few days, up on 148th at the Mill Creek Elementary crosswalk. We've been trying to put a lot of emphasis on the education, enforcement, and engineering at the 148th crosswalk, just to try and mitigate some of the congestion issues. This will just be one more piece. And so I was going to save that for our traffic unit update that we're going to do here in a couple weeks, but since you'll probably see that sign coming up, you'll know where it came from.
Good deal. Anything else?
That is it from our side.
Okay. Any other audience communication? Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.